What is up, and welcome in to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined always with my co-host, John Kegley, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And make sure, if you want to listen to Locked On Chargers podcast, the fastest way to get it is by subscribing to us on Himalaya, the brand new podcasting app, or wherever you get your podcast from. That's the best way to do it. Usually get it a day before everyone else does. On today's show, we have something to talk about that a lot of Charger fans have been talking about the last couple days, because Tampa Bay decided to release Gerald McCoy, and they also already technically kind of replaced him as well, but we're going to get into that because the Chargers obviously have still some need at defensive tackle, and when a big one becomes available like that, Charger fans everywhere are going to get excited and hope that they bring him in. And in the second segment today, we're going to talk about Pro Football Focus coming out with a list of all of the 80-plus grades that the Chargers had last year in their starters, and talk about who could potentially get on that list next year and who might drop off of that list in 2019 as well. Then we're going to finish the show by getting back into our OTA talk. OTAs began this week, and we have some good quotes from Derwin James about Nazir Adderley and Gus Bradley talking about Drew Tranquil. And we'll also just talk about what we can expect to see from the rookies at training camp and what we're most excited to look at regarding them. But before we start the show, we do want to give a special thanks to Hotels.com, because this show is brought to you by them. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. All right, John, let's go ahead and get into it. Some exciting news, because another valuable player has hit the open market when Tampa Bay decided to release veteran defensive tackle Gerald McCoy, who played all nine seasons of his career in Tampa Bay. And, of course, the Charger fans are always going to want them, similar to the Sue talk, who we'll talk about in a second. But Gerald McCoy, John, is now on the open market.
And now we have to wait and see where he goes. And the Chargers apparently are interested in it. I know all the fans are interested in it. Me and you are both interested in it. But money talks, man. Money is the situation right now. And if he somehow becomes cheap enough and we get him, we talked on last show about Chargers having the most complete team. Just imagine about the number one ranked defense with Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, I think it was Garrett Sisti put on Twitter, like, can you think about a defensive line that has Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Jerry Tillery, and Gerald McCoy? I think that's something that all Charger fans could get behind. But, hey, this is all about timing. Yes, maybe, hey, if you don't sign Brandon Mebane to 2 years, $10 million, and you have another $5 million in salary cap to throw at a guy like Gerald McCoy, it would be very likely that they could find a way to make those numbers work. But before we get into McCoy more, we did see a guy, John, that a lot of Charger fans wanted get signed to McCoy's team just now, basically right before we started recording this podcast, and Ndamukong Suh was signed to the Buccaneers. So probably won't make $13 million, which is what they saved in cutting him. But Ndamukong Suh is now off the market, so that means Charger fans will stop talking about bringing in Ndamukong Suh. And like we told you, it was very unlikely. But now, unfortunately, it all just shifts over to Gerald McCoy. So we lost one prospect, and now we gained another one in Gerald McCoy.
And the list will keep going until the final roster cuts happen, or until we're just out of money, either way. But it's nice to have a fresh name to talk about, not to hear Ndamukong Suh this, Ndamukong Suh that. Oh, we signed this guy. Are we still going to get Ndamukong Suh? Now we could talk about Gerald McCoy. And to talk about Gerald McCoy, me and you were talking about his stats before we recorded the show. And his stats, surprisingly, were somewhat better than McCoy, than Suh's. In some spots, but there were some spots where Sue's numbers were better, but McCoy looked like the better pass rushing defensive tackle, which is what we need.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, they're both really good against the run. And Ndamukong Suh was freed up to make more tackles. He had a lot of tackles last year, way more than Gerald McCoy's 28. And I'm sure Aaron Donald helps with some of that, but Aaron Donald also sucks up some of those stats as well. But yes, Gerald McCoy has been a better pass rusher than Ndamukong Suh. more sacks, more quarterback hits. I mean, pretty much everything. He's been better than Sue over the last few seasons. And those are down seasons by Gerald McCoy's standards. I mean, if you look at back of what he was doing, you know, at the top of his game before kind of the unrest happened with Tampa Bay over the last couple of years where they've turned into just a complete train wreck. I mean, he, in 2013, 9.5 sacks, 14, 8.5, same as 15, 8.5, and then 2016 was 7 before having 6 each of the last two seasons, which is more than any Chargers defensive tackle obviously has had over that time. So, yes, Gerald McCoy would be an absolute, I mean, star on Gus Bradley's defense and really make this defense probably the best defense in the entire NFL. I don't even think I'm really overstating that. I just don't see the weaknesses on this team, like the really glaring ones, if they were to sign a guy like Gerald McCoy. Because right now, yes, the defensive tackle is still somewhat of a question mark with Brandon Meebane having a couple up and down years. But the question is, John, can you make it fit? So when we were talking before, I don't think he's going to get this deal. But if you look back to last year, what Ndamukong Suh was able to get on the open market coming off of a less productive season than the one Gerald McCoy just had, made $14 million. I don't think he's going to get $14 million, but hey, let's look at what the Chargers have available. Right now, the Chargers have a little over $12 million in salary cap space. You can't really save very much on Travis Benjamin's contract now since you restructured his deal. You can't save that $5 million or whatever you would have saved if you were to cut him before you restructured his deal. They moved money around and put it on the second season, but they basically guaranteed this season's money. So he's going to make less, but at the same time, they'll be able to get rid of him and not spend the total money they would have. So there's no really obvious guys for you to cut right now to open up space, and the Chargers still haven't signed their first round, second, or third round picks. And those guys will probably take up around $3 to $4 million. And it also doesn't include what Damian Square's deal is, because we don't know what that is yet. So realistically, John, the Chargers could potentially have $8 million in salary cap space. Is that enough? Do you think that would be enough to get Gerald McCoy on a 1-year deal?
It could be enough. It sounds around the right number, around 8 to 9, but I think you'd want to get him for around 5 or 6 if you're going to try for him, because you need to leave some extra money around just in case you get injuries and stuff. You don't want to have your entire cap space full, and then if a guy gets hurt, then you're screwed. You can't sign anybody else. You have to just deal with what you have. So unless you can get him for like 5 to 6 mil area, maybe guarantee all of it to him, and add some incentives, tell them like, hey, if you can play 90% of the snaps and get 10 sacks, get 80 tackles, you know, each one of those can give you another extra 100,000 or something that makes them want to go, okay, I'll come play for you guys for that money. Then yeah, you could land them. But if he wants anything more than 8 million, we're out of the race.
Well, I mean, those are some pretty lofty incentives, because I don't think he's had 80 tackles or 10 sacks at all in his career. But I get what you're saying. I know. I like the thought of those numbers, though. I like the thought of a defensive tackle on the Chargers being able to do something like that. One of the best seasons ever. Trust me, I do.
Well, and you have the company that you have with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and even Jerry Tillery. You might be opened up a little bit more to get those kind of tackles.
I mean, I think that this would be the most help that Gerald McCoy's really ever had as far as what he'd be surrounded with the guys on the outside and being able to free him up from double teams, even though I'm sure he would still get his fair share. But he would have weapons around him, and the Chargers would go from having a extremely vulnerable defensive line last season, especially on the interior, to having potentially one of the best defensive lines inside and out in the NFL, which is just crazy. And I mean, you'd have to throw heaps of appreciation to Tom Telesco for being able to pull something like this off. And if he is to be able to bring in a guy like Gerald McCoy, I mean, we're going to have to start talking in different regards to Tom Telesco, even though we already speak very highly of him. I mean, that would just be an absolutely ridiculous thing to pull off with the salary cap
statue at the new stadium.
Yeah, I think he would definitely deserve a statue. But hey, we all know that the talent has to actually win. But as far as giving Anthony Lynn the pieces to put the puzzle together, it would be a great job. He's done a great job, but bringing in a guy like McCoy would really put it over the top. But I think, John, what this does too is it kind of limits you if there are other players that become available, specifically at offensive tackle, once these teams start trying to save salary cap dollars by getting rid of, you know, overpriced veterans. You would really limit yourself of being able to fix the offensive line later on in the offseason if you were to pull off a move like this.
Yeah, it does limit that, which is why I was saying you got to leave some money left over. You can't use your whole salary cap. And if you were to have even a little bit of money left over, you're not going to get a really good player unless it's some diamond in the rough undrafted free agent that you happen to find still laying around on the free agency market. But even then, that's a big risk. You're basically bringing another Dan Feeney, Sam Tevy type and hoping he shines like a Russell Okung does. That's a lot of hoping and praying for a whole season to ride on.
Well, and like we talked about before the show, I mean, Russell Okung was the 6th-round pick, so he wasn't necessarily a diamond in the rough. But at $5 or $6 million, $7 million, that sounds a lot better to a free agent offensive tackle more than, I mean, if you saved, you know, $1 or $2 million from the Gerald McCoy, you're not going to be able to bring in both realistically. You maybe have a chance to take a swing to get one more major improvement on the Chargers this offseason. So if you take it with Gerald McCoy, it's probably going to take up all of your salary cap, and you better be right.
But I would argue this point. Defense wins championships, and a team struggle to score. You're going to have a chance to win almost every single game. And Phillip Rivers has played with a far worse offensive line in his career and still been productive. So I would take my chances on the defensive line getting a big name and having to shut down other teams' offenses throughout the year than having to rely on signing a big name offensive lineman and then have him just get injured, and then you're right back to square one with the same offense and your defense is not improved yet on the D-line.
Right, but at the same time, I mean, if one of the offensive tackles right now gets hurt with the depth that you have behind him, it could similarly derail your season. I mean, we talked about that in the last show. You know, how scary it is, the thought of, you know, having any of these linemen get hurt because of what's behind them. So I definitely wouldn't hate the idea of bringing Gerald McCoy. I would love it, obviously. And I wouldn't, you know, hate the Chargers for going all out and making a big swing like this, like the Rams did last year with Ndamukong Suh, but for less money. I don't see it happening. I wouldn't get your hopes up if you're Charger fans, because to get that kind of performance for that little amount of dollars is not something that comes very often. But Tom Telesco, if you are able to get somebody like that on the team, we will all still praise the God known as Tom Telesco. But speaking of performance, it's time to step your performance up in the bed game, and you can do it with our friends from BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. The best part is BlueChew is prescribed online, no awkward doctor visits, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no more awkwardness at all. BlueChew takes all of that away. And the best part is it's made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we have a special offer for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping, and you get your first order of Blue Chew. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We also want to give a shout out to another one of our sponsors, Untuck It. Hey, dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts. And Untuck It has mastered the art of wearing fashionable, untucked shirts that don't look sloppy. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Right now, you can get 20% off at untuckit.com when you use the promo code Locked On. So make sure you check out Untuck It, the best shirts to wear untucked, and you can get 20% off with our promo code Locked On. All right, John, now it's time to get into kind of a cool thing that we saw on Twitter. The Pro Football Focus that covers the LA Chargers posted a picture showing all of the projected starters to come back to the Chargers that have an 80-plus Pro Football Focus grade, which is really high. Those are really good numbers. Pro Football Focus doesn't give those numbers out a lot, and the Chargers even had a 90-plus elite grade last year, which was awesome to see. But so right now, John, they have six guys that are coming back that put up 80-plus grades on Pro Football Focus. And I think really the surprising part is that four of them came from the offense. And so just to go over them really quick, we have Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Mike Williams barely made the cut with an 80.5, and then Keenan Allen, who put up an 89.3. So it was very close to that elite status. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you had Derwin James and Desmond King. So that's, I mean, a really good amount of people to put on there. But obviously, we have a couple that would have made it had they not been injured. I think we all agree that Joey Bosa would have put up an 80-plus grade last year because he's done it in every other one of his seasons, even his rookie season. And Hunter Henry, who is, I mean, a top-five ranked tight end in the NFL, has already put that up in his career as well. So, I really, John, that's more like eight projected starters that should be 80-plus grades.
And we should have a backup, too. If we were to run a double back offense and have a second starter, we would have Austin Eckler probably on there as well. So the fact that we have that many players on this team alone just shows how many superstars we have. And then the guys that you mentioned that were hurt, that didn't get to get there, aren't even showing up on this list because of being hurt. It just shows you the potential this team has and how much better they can get. And it makes you wonder what the rookies are going to be like, too, because you got to expect that Nazir Adderley is going to get an 80 grade this year.
Well, and even though we talked about the Joey Bosa thing and how he obviously probably would have put up an 80-plus grade had he had a full, healthy season, you don't see anyone on the defensive interior on this list, and you don't see anyone on the offensive line on this list. Russell Okung was really close. He had a 78.4, so it basically as close as you could be. He was almost at that level. Casey Hayward showed up on the honorable mentions as well. He's been an 80-plus performer regularly in his time with the Chargers, and I mean, had a down year by his standards. So you understand that, but getting to, you know, the future, who do you think that we could potentially see on this list next year that we don't see right now?
Got to be Nazir Adderley and maybe even Thomas Davis. Thomas Davis could probably step up and get that 80 grade in this defense. And you got to see Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa has to be the guy this year that gets even an elite grade if he plays a full healthy year for once. But I, out of all of them, I'm going to put all my money on Nazir Adderley.
Ooh, I like Nazir Adderley a lot. I think that is a good, pretty hot take. I think, I mean, as a rookie, it was pretty crazy to see Derwin James see what he did as a rookie. But a guy like Jesse Bates that went to Cincinnati also put up a really good year getting drafted similarly to Adderley. So I think you could absolutely see it happen, and I think he's going to be the guy that, if he wins the free safety spot, will have the most opportunity to do so. I definitely see that as a possibility. I don't necessarily think it will happen, but if you were to get an 80 grade out of Nazir Adderley, I mean, good God, that defensive backfield would just be absolutely ridiculous if he can come in and play well with the guys they already have there. I'm going to say a guy like Michael Davis could have a shot if he finally figures it out, if he even wins that starting cornerback position, because I thought down the stretch last year, he was putting up those kinds of grades and was actually one of their better cornerbacks in the playoffs as well. So I think Michael Davis has a chance to take a step forward and do that. And I also think that there are guys offensively that could do it as well. I mean, you saw Mike Williams finally kind of take that next step and get that 80 plus grade and become a really good wide receiver. But I guess more of my hope is that we get to see an offensive lineman make this list. I think Russell Okung could get on here next year. If he has a fully healthy season, he has the potential to have an 80 plus grade easily, I would say, and the most obvious amongst the offensive linemen. But hey, what about Forrest Lamp got an 80 plus grade? I think that's really what we want to see the most, but probably not very likely to happen. Is there anyone that you see on this list that could drop off of the 80 plus grades and end up with a lower grade next season, in your opinion?
Maybe Melvin Gordon, not because of his fault, but because of the offensive line's fault. I think that might be the case, but Mike Williams was at 80.5, but I think he's going to have a bigger role this year with Tyrell Williams gone, so I think that grade should move up. And Keenan Allen and Phillip Rivers are going to always be in the 80s. They're just so freaking good.
Yeah, so probably Melvin closer Gordon, to 90.
Yeah, a lot closer to 90. But Gordon, with that offensive line, kind of worries me sometimes. So I'm kind of 50-50 on his grade.
Yeah, I think that Mike Williams would be a major letdown if he was to go back into the 70s and not progress. So I think it could happen, considering he's the closest one that would be dropping off that. But I don't see it happening with Desmond or Derwin or Phillip or Keenan Allen. I think the other two guys, Melvin Gordon and Mike Williams, I guess, would be the most obvious ones that could fall into the 70s or below. But I think that the Chargers are going up from here, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them have, you know, 8 guys, 9 guys, 10 guys on this list next season. So that's something to look forward to as far as Pro Football Focus grades. And
barring injury.
Yeah, obviously anything with the Chargers, though, is barring injury. But we do have one more segment to get into, and that is continuing into OTA. So, hey, maybe one of these rookies could make that 80-plus grade, and Azeer Adderley, like you said, could be one of them. But we do want to talk about what we can see from these rookies in OTAs coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about the best belt in the world, and that is Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, and even moms and wives in the women's collection. They're ultra light with no holes, no flap, and it carries a low profile. And Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. What are you waiting for? Go get the best belt in the world. All right, John, now it's one more segment that we have for the people today, talking about OTAs. And I think for me, it's exciting, even though we just had the draft, even though we brought in some undrafted free agents. This feels like football, John. The guys getting on the field, veterans and rookies alike, not just rookie minicamp. It's just nice to see OTAs, and I swear the air just has a different smell to it.
Oh, yes, it is almost football season, my people. I feel like I'm a preacher saying it, but it is almost football season. 10 more days, and we will be in June, which means we are a month away from training camp. And for right now, we got to settle for OTAs, but it is better than sitting here staring at a computer going, okay, who did we sign? Who are we going to draft? We have people on the field.
Yeah, and it's not all just, oh, we hope this guy is good. Oh, hey, you know, this guy's maybe going to be good. We just, all of the unknowns start to get figured out in OTAs. So we talked a little bit about them yesterday, but today I want to focus more on the rookies. We gave you a little bit of Nazeer Adderley yesterday, talking about how Anthony Lynn had to tell him to kind of throttle it back a little bit because he was a little bit too intense in practice and he wants to protect Adderley's teammates, which is not something that we were mad about at all. I mean, that we all got a little bit more excited, I think, by that. But Fernando Ramirez of NBC San Diego interviewed Derwin today, asking him about that situation. And Derwin James said that it reminded him a lot of himself when he first got to the league and having coaches pull him aside to tell him to calm down a little bit. He also said that Adderley was a special player and that he's going to be great. He also said that Adderley is always sitting next to him in meetings and has a lot of questions and is constantly learning from him as well. What do you think about that, John? Just seeing, you know, your young guy going up with another young guy who's now somehow a veteran. I mean, with what he was able to do on the field last year, I don't think anyone can really question him there. But just that, you know, chemistry between that duo and seeing it get started early.
I absolutely love it. I mean, I just read an article about Joe Flacco saying it's not in his contract to be helping younger guys and whatever, even though he's still doing it. But Derwin James isn't even saying that. Derwin James is like, hey, yeah, let's go, man. Hop on. I'll teach you what you need to learn. And Azeer Adderley's taking that as, okay, cool. And I'm also going to be better than you. And that they're both competing with each other to make each other better every day. That's how football teams become really good and have fun doing it, and it avoids locker room drama. It's a fun thing to see, and I am so proud to see it. I cannot believe that these guys get along so well and are willing to get better with each other.
Well, I think the big difference between like that and the Flacco situation is, hey, these guys are excited to take each other to the top. I mean, these guys are players who know that it doesn't get done without one another. These guys have to have the most trust with each other to do their jobs on the field of any tandem really on the field. These guys have to be in sync. They have to know where each other are going to be at all times, and they have to really get along and complement each other's playing styles. So I definitely love to see that. It's nice to see that, you know, they're talking trash to each other and getting after each other on the field, which is something, you know, we never don't like. We always like to see that kind of competition at camp. I mean, hey, we're only a little over a year away from competition really getting the better of camp, John, when we saw Keenan Allen absolutely spearing a Rams player. I think it was Nickell Robey Coleman in the inner squad scrimmage where he absolutely just lit him up. And every time I see that video, I have to watch it 10 times.
Oh, you just gave me a really good feeling inside just flashbacking to that. I love that video. And we're going to be doing that again this year. The Chargers and Rams are going to have another joint practice this year. I think it's week 2 or 3 of the preseason that they're going to do it. So we might see that again. But that competitive spirit right there, just for an inner squad practice where there's nobody that really wins or loses, it does nothing for your record. Those guys wanted to compete, and just wait till this team goes up against those Rams guys after they've been in LA for a while. They've gotten the gist of what the LA rivalry basically is, and now you got a bunch of guys that want to compete and play. No distractions. It's going to be a good little inner squad scrimmage.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, hey, you're talking about from the last show, the two most complete teams in the league, right?
Yeah, basically, they were the top two. It was Chargers, Rams, Browns, Colts, and Chiefs.
You get to go up against a team that's coming off a Super Bowl appearance. So, I mean, you don't get to ask for much more than that. And they're close. You don't have to go very far to do it. So that always helps. But staying with OTAs and staying with the rookies, I think the most interesting thing to talk about is what Trey Pipkins is going to do now that he's going to be with a bunch of guys that play in the NFL and NFL caliber talent. We haven't really seen anything from him yet, John, but this is where it starts for him, starting to acclimate to the much faster pace of the NFL instead of Division II.
Yeah, this is your chance to get a starting position and prove me, Wade, and David wrong about you being a worthless pick. So when you get on that practice field, it is time to show what you're about and to get better. Even if you're not that great right now, make yourself better and get reps at every spot on the offensive line, and because you're going to be used somewhere. I guarantee you, if you can play guard better than Dan Feeney, we will stick you in right here and right now. But yeah, if he doesn't show himself now, it's going to be a long season for him. He's going to have to wait a whole other year just to even get a snap, unless we have a blowout win.
Well, that's kind of like where you just say, you know, I don't have to be faster than the bear that's chasing after me. I just have to be faster than the guy I'm running next to. Well, you don't have to be better than Russell Wilcox. You just have to be better than one of the other four guys basically on the offensive line to get some playing time. Obviously, we hope it works out. And I mean, I don't think it's a worthless pick. I just think it was the wrong pick. I think it might have some worth for you down the road. But right now, unless he can play this year, that's not doing what they should be doing. That's capitalizing on Phillip Rivers' Super Bowl window that we're in right now. But the last guy I want to talk about really quick, John, is Drew Tranquil. We did hear yesterday coming out of practice that Drew Tranquil stood out, according to Gus Bradley, playing at the Mike linebacker position, calling out plays. He did a good job, they said. They also said that they plan on playing him at strong side and weak side and middle linebacker. So they're going to play him at all three. But right now it's starting with the Mike linebacker, which he probably isn't big enough to be, I mean, frankly, unless it's a sub package. But it was good, John, to see that this guy is standing out. He's a guy that we have a lot of questions about, but could absolutely carve himself a role, not only in special teams where I think he will play, but also in sub packages when you have to take a guy like Denzel Perryman off the field on passing downs, things like that. It's nice to see that he's standing out in practice.
I think it's nice to see that he's actually calling the plays. If he's doing a good job calling the plays, that's someone we're going to need in the future. We haven't really had a great play caller since Stephen Cooper. Stephen Cooper, I think, is probably the last guy that actually was able to audible and change the plays and call out what's going on the field in a really good, productive way. So if he could move himself into that kind of role, we could have a really, really special player that is smart and can become talented with some more work and practice. He can actually be a better middle linebacker than what we already have on the team right now. But just the fact that he already has the play calling down already makes me feel a lot better about him.
Yeah, I love that. You love seeing a guy get out there and bark the plays out to his team, not only with the original play, but like you're saying, seeing what the adjustment and what the alignment is of the offense and changing calls because of that. You know, you definitely want to see that. And I mean, what has this team invested in lately? They love versatility, and that's what this guy brings you. I mean, he's a guy that could realistically play all three positions in a very limited role, or you could see him coming into that at some point. The Chargers love versatility. That's a very versatile linebacker right there when you're talking about Drew Tranquil with his speed, coming from a guy who used to play safety and kind of being an in-betweener between a safety and a linebacker. That brings you versatility, which this team covets. So I definitely could see a role for him at some point, maybe not this year, maybe next year, but at some point down the road, him getting some snaps on the field. So linebacking core is something that the Chargers desperately needed depth at. And now you feel better about it if you have a guy coming along as a fourth-round pick behind the guys you have right now with Denzel Perryman and Thomas Davis. But
let me ask you this question.
Shoot
me. Gus Bradley was in Seattle. The guy he had calling plays and being a versatile linebacker was Bobby Wagner. Do you see Drew maybe becoming that type of player, not saying as talented, but being that kind of guy?
No.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. It's just too soon. So, would you love a guy like that? Yeah, he's not as big as Bobby Wagner is, but Bobby Wagner's not a huge guy. Bobby Wagner is a great player. And I just think that really Bobby Wagner is just underrated, in my opinion. I don't think he gets the credit they deserved. I mean, we grew up watching guys like Brian Urlacher roam the middle of the field or Ray Lewis, and he's not that type of player with the skull cracking hits. But Bobby Wagner is just ridiculously good. But you know, if you see Gus Bradley kind of leaning toward a guy like Drew Tranquil, that he sees some of those traits that he loves out of his linebackers, which is really exciting.
It is really exciting. And the fact that he believes in his linebackers enough to play the pass and the run, and while also being the leader on the field, whereas in Seattle he had Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas. Now he's relying on all of his linebackers. Finally, we have people that can actually be relied on to do this kind of stuff. Makes you have hope that this whole defense is going to have a bunch of players that want to be the leader and the captains on the team rather than a bunch of followers like we had when Mike McCoy was here.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that we've heard about Drew Tranquil is too, is just was a captain at Notre Dame and a great leader. And I think that's really important when you're talking about the linebacker position and versatility, like you talked about, John. Hey, we went from having guys like Denzel Perryman, who's really good in run defense, not as great in the passing game. Jatavis Brown, whose specialty was blitzing and coverage, not necessarily stopping the run. So you're going from guys who kind of have specialized roles to trying to find guys that can be three down linebackers. And I understand what they're going for. It's a passing league. I think you're going to see positions like linebacker get smaller when you're talking about guys that are in the league right now. You want sideline to sideline guys, and those not necessarily guys that are just 5'10", 250-pound skullcrackers. So I definitely see what they're going for in this. And OTAs is kind of a good time to really just see what these guys are able to do mentally. There's no hitting involved, but mentally you can get excited about what these guys are able to do and how fast they progress learning Gus Bradley's scheme. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. I had fun talking about that stuff, and we'll continue to talk about OTAs as the week progresses and we get more news. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. If you don't already, make sure to subscribe to us on Himalaya or wherever you get your podcasts from, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, so you get the show before everybody else does. And also to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers so you always get the latest content. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. We will have at least one more show for you probably tomorrow, so make sure to check in with us then. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.